Good morning.
Morning.
They told me I had Sunday school this morning. So, I have my notes. It's good to be here. Thank you for the warm welcome. It's always good to come home. It's a surprise visit. I wasn't expecting to come till this past week. We decided to come. And I'm looking forward to being here. Probably stay here through Thanksgiving. That's the plan at any rate. And head back. And since I'm up here, I'll give you a short report. I have been going, I've mentioned it during the mission conference, trying to change the way I was doing things a little bit. I am going into the villages still. I have picked a list of about 14, and I keep adding to it, villages. I try to go out on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, several hours, going up and down streets, knocking on doors, trying to talk to people, passing out packets with Gospel of John and Romans and different tracts in it, and talk to anybody that will talk to me. Invite everybody, tell them that about 4:30, 5 o'clock, I'll be preaching in some location. I have to drive through town, figure out where to preach, because some of these places don't have a central location. And so then I go back, and about 5 o'clock, I preach. And I'm trying to do it about that time of the day so that I'm back on a main highway before it gets dark. And just to protect myself and just trying to be safe as much as I can in one of the states that the government of Mexico has declared one of the 5 worst states for violence and danger in Mexico. I've been doing that now almost since I got back in August. It gets tiring sometimes with the hills that I'm climbing. And sometimes it gets tiring just on flat land. So at 8,000 feet, any type of walking for an old man like me gets tiring. But I'm enjoying it. I am getting into a routine, if you will. I love what I'm doing, and I really enjoy preaching on the streets. Every now and then, I notice that I have people listening. That's always a blessing. I had one man actually walked out of his house, walked across the street where he could lean against a wall and look at me, listen to the whole sermon, and then walk back in before I could have a chance to talk to him. But I do get some people that listen, and that's always a blessing. And this past week, I guess the week before, had a man get mad at me. And I didn't even preach against anything that, you know, I wasn't even ugly. I'm trying not to be ugly for the most part, but I wasn't ugly. I was preaching on, let God be true and every man a liar. Take the Bible and believe it. Stand on it, no matter what anybody else says. And he got mad at me, basically because I wasn't going along with Catholic doctrine. So that's what I'm doing. We're doing well and enjoying ourselves and decided to come up for a quick visit. I'm going to try and probably be here through Thanksgiving, and then we'll be heading back. So appreciate your welcome. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I've had this thought for a while. I'm going to try and share it. I didn't come this morning knowing I was going to be teaching Sunday school, but that's fine. I've got several points that I'm going to try and share. I've also, preaching on the streets, gotten used to preaching for 10 or 15 minutes at the max. So if I run out early, then sorry, you may get a long break. I'm sorry. I don't think so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that deceiveth, despiseth, despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what we can find in it. I thank you for the promises and the hope. Thank you for the goodness that you tell us about. Pray, Lord, that you would bless this morning. Give me the right words to speak. Give me the right spirit to speak it. May you be glorified. May you be exalted. May your people be drawn closer to you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read the whole chapter, but I'm going to concentrate on the last few verses. I think the verses are probably very well known by most of us, starting in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you would sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. My thought on this, I was reading it a while back. Those who have no hope. Do you have hope? I have hope. I have hope. What a wonderful thought to look at this passage and say, I have hope. Wow, what a hope we have. Looking at some of the things in this passage, you know, I'm looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the day when I get to see this Savior that I've never seen, who actually went to the cross and died for me, shed his blood, gave his life, broke his body, went into the grave and had to fight all that and come out. And the Bible says in Romans that God spared not his own son. And I was looking at that the other day in Spanish, and it said he pardoned not his own son. I said, wow, he didn't give him a break. He put his own son on the cross to save my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
What a wonderful salvation. And I look at this passage and he says, brethren, we have hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we believe that Jesus is coming back for us. We believe that those that are already dead are coming back with him. And there are several things that we can find here that we can say, okay, we have some tremendous hope. First of all, there's a hope of a reunion. My mother's gone. My grandparents are gone. Other people we know and love are gone. And I've got several people in the church there in Zacatecas that we go to. And they've lost family members this past year, past several months, to violence in the state. Violence in and around going on. Had one couple who just refused to pay protection money for their business. Went home, one night they're there at home with a guest eating supper, and they came along and killed them all inside the house. And I wonder, did they have hope? I wonder about some of these family members, and they're praying for their loved ones, and they're praying for the people that are in their family and going through some dangers and going through some hard times, and wonder, do they have hope? I'm glad I have hope. I'm glad I have passages like this I can come back to, and one day I'm going to see my loved ones who've gone on before me. I'm going to see my mother. I'm going to see my grandparents. I'm going to see some different people that have gone on before me, and I have hope that one day after I'm gone and my kids show up, there's going to be a reunion. That's what it says. There's a reunion coming. Every one of us have members that we've lost along the way. And those of us that are Christian, those of them that have gone on to be with the Lord before us, we're going to see them again. That's what he's saying. It's not just that there's going to be a grand resurrection one day and we're going to glory. There's going to be a reunion. He said you can comfort one another with these words because they're coming back with Jesus. There's going to be a reunion. We're going to see them again. That to me is a great thing. Amen. There's hope in that. There is a hope that one day all these people that maybe I've just met along the way, I'm looking forward to seeing some of those good soldiers for Jesus Christ that made it and went on. And you wonder, what did they find? I want to hear their stories of their reaction of how they met Jesus Christ. The first time that they looked upon their Savior, the first time they looked at glory, the first time they got to glory and turn around and look back as one of that cloud of witnesses looking on us as we're trying to struggle through and make this life work and make this life count for Jesus Christ, trying to go on. And I want to hear their stories and how they were happy and cheering us on. I want to hear their stories of how they realized, oh man, I didn't think I was doing very good, but the Lord was with me all the way. I'm looking forward to those days. There's a reunion coming, not only with loved ones, there's going to be a reunion with Jesus Christ. One of the things I look forward to, Jesus said that when he was doing the Lord's Supper the last time with his disciples, he said, I'm not going to eat or drink of this till I do it new in the kingdom with you. That's going to be a big day. To me, that's going to be a great reunion day. To me, that's going to be a time when we get together, we sit down with Jesus Christ, and he recounts and goes back through it. And this time, it's not going to be 12 other men sitting at the table, or I don't know how many people were actually there. There's going to be a huge crowd. All those that have gone on before us, all those that have lived before us, all those that have fought the fight and stood steady for Jesus Christ going down the road. The failures, the strong ones, the people who just wouldn't quit living for Jesus Christ, the people who just wouldn't quit giving up their hope, their life, their love for Jesus. One day we're going to sit down together at a great big reunion. We're going to be together with Jesus in a reunion. And as I heard Stephen preaching a while back, I think in one of his messages, he was talking about Revelation where they got that big crowd starting to praise God. Now there's a reunion to be at. You know, we watch people. I don't watch sports in Mexico. I barely watched it here before I left, but I was in a restaurant the other day and they had the TVs on. Football's playing and you look at these crowds and they get all excited. They got nothing. They've never seen a reunion like we're going to have around the throne of Jesus Christ. They've never seen a reunion like the crowd that's going to be shouting glory to the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Glory to God Almighty who gave his life for us a ransom. And we're going to shout glory and hallelujah and praise the Lord forever. Amen. That's a reunion to be worth counting on. That's a reunion worth looking for. That's a reunion worth living for. That's a reunion worth giving your life for, because one day we're going to see Jesus and there's going to be a reunion with God Almighty and our brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ. That's worth thinking about. Paul said at one point, things that are good, things that are lovely, things that are pure, think on these things. We spend so much time thinking on junk. We think on junk. I know I thought about coming up here and seeing loved ones. It's always good to see you guys. It's good to see my family. It's going to be even better to see my heavenly family. It's going to be even better to see him who died on the cross of Calvary for me. There is a reunion coming, brethren. I want you to know there's a reunion coming. And for that, we have hope. We have hope. And I'm looking forward to that. Another thing it says here, says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's going to be a resurrection. You may get put in the ground. I may get put in the ground. I don't know. I would like to be here for the rapture, but I'm not sure if that's the best way to go. It seems like it. But my mother is going to be raised from the dead. Yep. My grandfather is going to be raised from the dead. A lot of people that we know are going to be raised from the dead, and I'm looking forward to that. There is going to be a resurrection. And if you make it to the grave before the rapture comes, before Jesus Christ returns to this earth, you're going to be raised from the dead. Paul taught in Corinthians, said, if there is no resurrection, we of all men are most miserable because we're living a life that's a lie, number one. We're living a life, we're looking for a hope that doesn't exist. I want you to know, brethren, there is a resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of that resurrection, and he promised it to us. He promises it to us several times in the scriptures. Paul makes a point to sell it over and over and over again. We're coming out of the grave. We're going to get a new body. We're going to get a new life. We're going to have a life that's without sin in this bottle. God is going to give us a spiritual body, and we're going to rise again. We're going to live forever. We're going to live in that place where God has prepared for us. He says that in my Father's house are many mansions, and I don't know what kind of mansion it's going to be. I don't know what kind of life I'm going to have, but I know that it's going to be much better than this life. Amen. One of the verses I hang on to, I think it's Psalm 16. David says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You ever get tired of getting frustrated in this life? You ever get tired of living this life and try as much as you can, pray as much as you can, and you still fail? You still find yourself got sin inside your heart, sin inside your life, and sin inside of what you're doing. And you think, oh, Lord, how in the world can I serve you? I'm trying to get up and go. I'm trying to serve you. Lord, help me. One day, I'm going to have a resurrection body, and there's going to be no sin. There's not going to be that temptation. There's not going to be that struggle. It's not going to be that. I'm going to be able to love Jesus purely. I'm going to be able to love God with all of my heart. I'm going to be able to give God all of my life and everything that I've got, because I'm going to be completely His and I'm going to be cleansed. Amen. You talk about a hope. That's a hope I have. Amen. I go through this life and I find so much failure in what I do, so much failure in just in my thoughts and in my heart. And go, oh, Lord, help me. And he said, I will. One day there's going to be a new body. One day there's going to be a resurrection. One day, even if you're still walking around in that old decrepit body that you got, I'm going to change it. I'm going to make you perfect. I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to give you a body that never sins again. There's a resurrection coming. Therefore, I have hope. I love hope. I love something that I can look forward to that's good. So many things in this life I look forward to that aren't so good. I know my dad talks about this a lot. He says, I don't want to get sick and have to be put in a nursing home and suffer for a while. That's one of those things you look forward to in life that's not good. Okay? So I pray for him. You may think this is odd, but I pray for him to go into sleep. Go home. Actually, my prayer is he comes to church, he preaches, he goes home, goes to bed, and the Lord takes him. That's my prayer for him. I don't want to see him suffer either. I don't want to be one of those ones that suffers. I don't want to have to take care of him while he's suffering. I've been there. I've taken care of people. But I know a couple of things. Once he goes, I'm going to see him again. And once he goes, when I see him again, he's going to have a new body. He's going to have a resurrection body, because we have hope. I have hope of a resurrection. I have hope of a reunion. And I love the fact that I have hope. God has given us hope. Third thing I want to mention. It says in verse 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Eternity. You talk about a hope. How much time do we spend living, struggling, striving, working, planning, scheming, all these things for this life? And how long is this life? My dad's about to turn 86. And he's tired. He's ready to go. And I've talked to other people that got old. My grandparents, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. They got to a certain age and said, I'm done. I'm tired. I want to go home. I want out of this life. This life has worn me out. But brethren, we have a place where we're going where there is no end to life. There is no end because there's no time measuring it. I don't know how in the world we're going to measure because it's eternity. It's eternal. It says eternal life. It says life everlasting. It says we're going to be there forever with the Lord. It says forever. Throughout all ages, Jesus said, I'm with you. It's an eternity out there, and we have that hope. You look at this life, and I was glad to get to the point where I was old enough to retire. I wasn't looking forward to it at the point, but now I am. I'm very glad I got to be the point where I could retire. There was a point where I could stop doing some things and do what I wanted to do. Then I found out I didn't know what I wanted to do. I think most men who retire get to that point. They've been so busy that they've got no restrictions, no time restraints, and all of a sudden, they got to figure out what to do with their life. And I went through that. One day I'm going to have eternity. I'm not quite sure if I was left up to me what I would do with eternity. I really don't know. But I personally think God has a plan, a purpose, something so grand, so beyond our imaginations, we can't even conceive of it. Right. I look at the things God says about what he's done and what he's doing, and some of the contradictions or what seems like contradictory ideas in the Bible about how God's doing things and how he does things, and I don't get it. I'm sorry. It's beyond me. If you haven't heard it, Billy has a good set of lessons on election and on his Thursday night classes. It's worth listening to because it's a fascinating subject. I know that God gives us choices. I know that. And he respects choices men make. And I wonder sometimes if, okay, Lord, why did you do that? But he does. He also, because of our choices, gives us an inheritance for our children, and they get that inheritance. That's a godly thing. And yet sometimes it works out wrong because we don't do right. We make bad choices. And yet all of this works together, and God says that before the foundation of the world, he knew those that were going to be his. He knew what he was going to do. He knew how it was going to come out. I can't put it all together. My mind doesn't work that way. I can't put it together. So my conclusion is this. There's something so great, I can't understand it. Something so great that he couldn't explain it in a way that I could get it. But it's going to be great. And it's going to last forever and forever and forever and forever. You know, he made every one of us with a desire to accomplish something. I think that's born in us. Somehow we want to be valuable to ourselves and to others. There is that innate desire to count for something. I don't think he's going to take that away. I think in eternity we're going to count for something. I think there's going to be something going on in eternity. I think eternity is going to be a grand place to be. I think eternity is going to be a great place to be. I think eternity is going to have something great for us to do, something great for us to accomplish, something good for God that we've struggled so hard just to accomplish something little in this life. And God says, I've given you something to do. Go for it. I'm excited about that. There was a book put out by Peter Rugman years ago. I read it. If I remember right, the title was The Kingdom of God versus the Kingdom of Heaven. I may have it wrong. But anyway, he talked about his concept of once we get to eternity and once we're beyond judgment and the thousand-year reign and everything, and we are into eternity, that people are still going to be raising families and multiplying. They're going to be living for many years, and we're going to go out into the universe and fill up the universe and all the worlds that are out there. As good a science fiction as I ever read. I don't know that that's it. But there's something. It may be worlds out there, and it may be that God gives us a certain, I don't know, he told the disciples that they're going to be sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't know what he's got for me. It may be a little town like Helotes. I don't know, 25 people. That may be all I get. I don't know. But I think there's something that God is going to do, whether it's all on this world, whether he gets rid of all the oceans and fills it all with land and we just multiply. I don't know what it's going to be. But I think it's grander than my imagination can come up with. I think it's so far beyond our understanding that God can't even put it into words for us to grasp. And I think there are some smart people in this room. Not necessarily me, but I know some smart people. And I don't think they can even get close to it. There's a show on TV I saw the other day. I started to watch it. And they're trying to talk about infinity. They don't know the concept. They've got all these ways of trying to talk about it. They don't know the concept. What is infinity? Well, I'll tell you what infinity is. Eternity's infinite. It's going to last forever, and there's no end to it. There's no stopping, and there's no starting. There's just like God himself. He has no beginning of days and no ending of days. And all of a sudden, we're going to get slid right into the middle of that, and we're going to walk with God for all eternity with no end in sight.
Amen.
And we're going to live for God. We're going to practice for God. We're going to praise God. We're going to teach other people about God. We're going to teach other people what's right and what's wrong. We're going to have to judge angels. We're going to have to judge people. There's all sorts of things in eternity that I don't understand. And I can just give you a mere glimmer of the shadow of what's going on. Because I don't know. But I know there's eternity. And I've been promised eternity. I've been promised to be with the Lord forever. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, I'm going to be with you through all ages until the world without end. I'm going to be in eternity with God Almighty.
Amen.
And he has a purpose for me there.
Amen.
I think he has a purpose for everybody of his servants. Every one of his servants has a purpose. I don't know what yours is. I don't even know what mine is. It may be something so completely different to my way of thinking, but I think God has it set up so that I'm going to fit right in. It's going to be a job that's challenging. It's going to be something that's worth doing. It's going to be something that I'm going to thrive in. It's going to be something that I'm going to enjoy doing, and I'm going to give God the glory for it, for having that job.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm looking for eternity. I have hope. I have hope of a reunion. I have hope of a resurrection. I have hope of eternity with God Almighty. I have hope. The last thing he says in this passage, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you have a Bible? Do you read it? Do you look at it? Do you study it? Do you find comfort in your Bible? When I was in Mexico 30 years ago, I would talk to people and ask them if they had a Bible. Over 90% did not, at least where I was at. It's different now. Over 80% of them do have Bibles, not everybody. And I think the ones that don't have it, because they haven't thought far enough down the road to go get one, or they haven't been embarrassed to go buy one, because I get to talk to certain people and say, oh, I've got a Bible. Yeah, well, pull it out. Show me what you're trying to show me. I'm willing to look at your Bible. I'm not worried about if your Bible's Catholic and mine's Protestant. That doesn't bother me. Just bring your Bible out. Show me what you believe. Oh, it's a great big one. It's too heavy to get out. It's a great big family Bible. Well, I'm going to say this. I say it a lot in Mexico. If you have a Bible and you don't open it, it's wasted.
Amen.
If you have a Bible and you don't look at it, you don't try and figure out what it says, you've wasted your money.
Yeah.
It's not an icon. It's not an image to be put on a shelf. It's not something you hang up as a good luck charm. It's a study Bible. It's a study reference. It's a reference to know what God said. And God said, you need to study it. You need to know what it says. You need to teach it to your children. You need to do something with it. You need to understand what it says so you can stand before God and say, this is what you said, and that's what I tried to do. And I tell people that. I mentioned a minute ago that I was preaching on Let God Be True and Every Man a Liar. A man came up to me, and he was mad. I hadn't even knocked Catholic doctrines. I hadn't even gone there. Just making the point, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's this gringo preacher standing on the street screaming at you. or it's your priest, or your parents, or your neighbors, or the Pope himself, the king, or the president, or the governor, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't match this book, it's not worth following. God is true, and every man is going to be a liar. Put your faith and your trust in what God said.
Right.
I preach that over and over and over again. I preach the gospel. I preach salvation by grace. Salvation is free, gift of God. I preach repentance. I preach following Jesus Christ. I preach, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do my best to take this Bible and believe it. I never tell them it has to be my Bible. I get hit with that all the time. Well, your Bible's different. Bring your Bible out. Let me show you what your Bible says. I can show you. When I went down to one of the first things I did is I went to bookstores, used bookstores, and bought Catholic Bibles. I went to a seminary in town and bought more Catholic Bibles. I have several versions in Spanish of the Catholic Bible, and I check it. I go back and check different doctrines. I try to know, because one day they can come out and I can show them, see, your Bible says the same thing. Salvation is by grace. It's a gift of God. And God said that he gave Abraham righteousness because he trusted in him, because he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And I want you to know your Bible says the same thing. He'll count it to you for righteousness. I have hope because I have a Bible. I have hope because I have the Word of God. I have hope that I can go to day in and day out, and I can look at it and say, God said this. Well, I have hope. When I'm down and I have a bad day, I can open the Bible and I can say, wow, I have hope. Look what God said to me. God said one day I'm going to live with him. God said one day all my sins are going to be washed away and I'm going to have a perfect body. One day I'm going to see those loved ones that have gone by before me. One day I'm going to live with God forever and ever. I have hope, and it's all based on this book.
Yeah.
Nobody else can tell me what this book has told me. My parents taught me. I've had school teachers teach me. I've had college professors try and teach me. I've had good preachers try and teach me. I've had Catholics try and preach to me. I've had Pentecostals and all sorts of different people. And I have learned that I have comfort and hope because of what this book says. And when they tell me one thing and I go back and find it's not the same, I trust this book. This is my hope. So when I tell you this morning about hope of a resurrection, hope of a reunion, hope of eternity, it's because of this book. I have hope. I have hope because God said, I have hope. I have hope of eternal life. I have hope of forgiveness. I have hope of justification, sanctification, glorification. I have all sorts of hope this morning. And I have it because somebody wrote it down. And like Jesus told Thomas, blessed are those who haven't seen, but have believed. I want to encourage you this morning. Comfort one another with these words. Take that book. Find comfort in it. Find the hope in it. As Peter said, we have exceeding great and precious promises. Find them. Trust them. Believe in them. When sin gets in your way, trust that he forgives, he cleanses, and he wants you to walk with him. Trust that he gives you eternal life. Trust that it's all in him. Trust that there's nothing you can do to lose it or to get it. It's all in Jesus Christ. If I can encourage you this morning, I have hope. I have hope in Jesus Christ. I have hope in his word. Comfort one another with these words. Thank you.